Hi, this is Damon Pastolka, host of The Faces of Business, where I talk with interesting people sharing life and business experiences to entertain, engage, build community, and provide information to help others succeed. If you're interested in learning more about one of our guests or how we are helping business owners generate wealth and build businesses they can sell or succeed at Exit Your Way, you can find more information on our website, exityourway.com. Or by contacting me directly, Damon@exityourway.com. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, everyone, welcome once again to the Faces of Business. I am your host, Damon Pastolka, and I am so excited for our guest today because we have Tony Martinetti talking about unleashing true potential with inspired purpose. Tony, thanks for being here today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. You know, I've been following you for so long now that I'm thrilled to finally be in the space with you today.
So we're going to have fun, man. We're going to have fun because there is very few things I like to talk more about than getting inspiration.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. So let's, Tony, we always like to back up and go, how did Tony get to where Tony is today? What drove you to really helping people find their inspiration and purpose?
Yeah, I'll start by just saying that if there was a movie made of my life, it would be called the Lost Path of a Wayfinder. Because I think most of my life, I felt like I was lost, figuring it out, trying to figure out where I belonged, and had some fun along the way, but also realized that I wasn't on the right track. I started my journey as an artist, and still identify as an artist. And then eventually found myself being, a pre-med student and, you know, which made a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
But then shifted from being in pre-med to getting into business as a degree. I got a business degree finally, and then eventually got an MBA. Spent most of my career working as a finance and strategy professional in the high tech, then the biotech industry. So, go figure, do the math. There's a lot of things going on there that were very different, but also interconnected. I mean, at least you have the sciences and business coming together in the biotech industry. And the work I was doing was amazing. I got a chance to make a real impact on people's lives, which was really cool. I had the chance to meet patients, who were impacted by the therapeutics we worked on. I did a lot of deals along the way, raised money. But of course I wasn't doing the work I was meant for, because I realized as time went on that I was burning myself out and, feeling frustrated and I couldn't figure out why.
So was there a point where you just said that I'm done with this? Or, I mean, What really was your inflection point when you said, hey, I got to find something else?
Yeah, I mean, there is a point that came, but it was much further along in my journey. I mean, I stuck with things for a long time. I think there's a sense of commitment that I had to the journey that had me sticking it out and working harder. And I think in me, I had this mentality that was instilled in me from my parents. My parents are immigrants. They came from this country, and they had this sense of, you know, if you work hard, you can get anything you want, right?
Yeah.
Which is great. And I don't want to dismiss that because it's amazing. But there's also a sense of realizing, when should you give up?
Yeah.
When should you consider, you know, pivoting, and also knowing when do you need to work smarter about the work you're doing? So that mentality can be really challenging. So that is a long answer to your question that what led to this point where I was, you know, really fed up with who I was being and realized it was time for me to make a change. And that all happened in a boardroom when I was sitting in a biotech boardroom and realizing that I think I was done. I was done doing the work that I was doing, and I needed a change. I wanted to live a life that was connected with who I am, and I know I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I wanted to say, first of all, say hey to Rakid. Sorry, I'm butchering your name, but thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. And then we got James. James, great to see you here today, man. James is the industrial coating expert. Not kidding you. Nice. You ask him, you know, like, what do you put on the, you know, on ships or something crazy like that? And he knows it all. That's cool. But this is awesome, Tony, because you're sitting in this boardroom. Was it like, you know, I listened to, I can't remember the name. You listen to some of these people and they just go, it hit me. It hit me. And I got up, I walked out and said, I'm done. You know, what was the transition that you made then? Did you decide and over time and do it slowly, or how did you really transition into getting out of that?
Yeah, it was slowly, but then all of a sudden, right? You know, like there's, if you know what I mean, there was a buildup, and over time you start to hear these little things that start to plant the seed for the change. You know, I would hear things like, oh, you know, who cares if they leave? You know, we'll just replace them. You know, I had this sense of like treating, you know, leadership in the organization I was in, feeling like, you know, people are just like cartridges. You can toner cartridges you can replace on a printer. And I was like, wow, like that's not fair. I mean, these people come to work every day. They work hard and they want to be driven by a purpose. And you can't just talk about them like they're just replaceable parts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of that lead up started to weigh on me. It starts to become more evidence and things that I'm taking in. And then that moment really came all of a sudden where I said, okay, I think this is it. This is the moment for me to start taking ownership of my life and ownership of my responsibility, which is to literally, and this is where the moment really came to, is I decided to walk out. I just got up and walked out and said to myself that I'm going to leave this room to change this room. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure out a way to change the way leaders show up to ensure that they're inspiring, but also they're being real with people, that they understand the power of, you know, being a leader and what it means, and the responsibility that comes with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. You had said something there a little bit back in the conversation there when you were talking about people and it doesn't matter if they leave, we'll just replace them. And I mean, I think in the work that I get to do, I'm blessed to be able to do with some of my clients, you know, there's a lot of change going on. And sometimes there's a difference between treating people like a number that you're just going to interchange and put them in, and someone that if your business is going a direction and they're just not, they don't want to go that way. Yeah. And it's time to help them get off the bus. I think there's two different things, but man, corporations that don't value their people now are they're dying and they don't even know it. I don't care how big you are. It's just, and you used to hear it a lot more. I don't, maybe you still hear it some, but it's hopefully much, much less, because every business, it doesn't matter if you've got one employee or 5,000, depend on employees, or 50,000 or 100,000. It depends on the people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. That's what businesses are. They're made of people and the relationships that are inside of them. There's a quote that I love sharing. It comes from Judith Glaser, is that the quality of our culture is based on the quality of our relationships. And our relationships are based on the quality of our conversations. And so if you think about that, you take it down to that level, is that what kind of conversations are you having with the people around you? Are they authentic and real? Are they meaningful? Are they, you know, being honest with each other? And honest conversations don't have to be necessarily sugarcoated, meaning like, you know, oh, we're not going to, you know, let you go, or we're going to keep you on forever. No, you don't have to say that, because that's not true. What you can say is, here's what's going on. And this is what I can tell you, because that's all I know.
Yeah. 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 And I think I run into a situation in some of the work that we do where the companies are pivoting, right? And when you have to pivot, it's sometimes, I believe, more, I'm searching for the right words. It's when you just sit down and say, hey, Tony, I know this is not the way you want to go. I just want to confirm that with you. Because if it is, there's a better place for you. It's just not here now.
Yeah.
And you're talented and you're good at what you do. And it's just not here now. Cause we're going this way and we're an artist, but we're going to be in metal and you're a wood artist, right? It just doesn't work together. your medium is wood. It's just like, all the trees are gone. We're not going to do that anymore.
I love that you say that, because I've been through that moment before, and at first it's always going to be painful. I mean, there's an element of change is always, if it comes as a surprise to you, it's always going to be a little bit of a shock. But I've had that moment when, the exact same thing you described of like, we're not able to give you what you want here. And so in that interest, we are, we want to make sure that you can have the freedom to go do what you need to do. And we're let you go. And at first it feels like, oh, they don't want you. They don't want me. Why don't they want me? And then you realize, no, they're trying to help you.
Yeah.
And when you see it from that angle, it's helpful. Now, it's not all the situations are like that, but you realize that you've been, you have a chance to now reinvent, recreate yourself. That's a whole different reframe that you can take from this. It's really powerful.
Yeah. Well, you speak of some big terms when you talk about inspired purpose. I love inspired purpose. Love it. What really got you to focus in on those words and help people find inspired purpose?
Such a great question. I love this because, I see it as a double-edged sword for me. Well, not double-edged, but like, first of all, if I think about it from a personal level, I realized that inspiration was at the core of a lot of the things that I cared about. I wanted more inspiration in my life, and I wanted to see that spark come back to my life at that moment when I was really feeling listless. And I felt like this connection to being at the time coaching and leadership development and helping leaders, I realized that was my inspired purpose, is to do that work. And then realizing that it's also what I'm going to do for others, is to help them to connect with that purpose that they really want to be inspired by every day, and how that will have an impact, a ripple on others. I often say about the ROI, the ripple of inspiration that you can have on others. When you're inspired, others get that connection from you, and it becomes contagious. So,
yeah. I love that ROI.
Yeah, it's a good one.
A ripple of inspiration, because when you talk to inspired people, it's contagious.
Absolutely.
It's contagious. That's so cool. So I got a lot of questions. That's all I'm saying. A lot of questions here. This is coming from. So when you start talking to someone, and they come and talk to you, they go, Tony, I just don't know what's going on. I mean, what are some of the common things that you hear? So if someone's listening today, they go, hey, maybe I do need to look at finding a different purpose.
Yeah.
So what are some of those things that they're going to bring up when you're in there and go, you're going to hear them say, they're going to talk about work, life, different things that you're going to hear them say?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different, there's a range of things that I see in people. One of the things I'll ask to really get a feeler for this is to say, like, well, tell me about what your typical day looks like, or what your week ahead, what does your next week look like? And if they say, like, you know, yeah, it's just a lot of meetings, nothing really exciting, nothing that I'm looking forward to, you know, a lot of this blah, just you can feel it in the voice of like this sense of, gosh, I could literally sleep through next week and not feel like I missed anything. And if you start to feel that way, or like that they prefer to sleep through next week and that'll be better for them.
Yeah.
Then you know you've got somebody who's got, they're on the verge of something that needs to change. Yeah. And I start to have them think, well, what would it look like if you start to create something with intention that at least has one thing in your week that you can look forward to? You know, what would it look like? What would you want that to be? You know, what would make this next week or the next day a little more exciting for you? And it doesn't mean it has to be like, oh, I'll be jet skiing across like the, you know, I don't know, the bay or what have you, or surfing somewhere, because that's, you know, might be nice if you're close. Yeah. But if you're, you know, sitting in Alaska, you're not going to be, you know, jet skiing across, you know, California Bay or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so long story short, I mean, I want to help them to get connected to what are the things that do light them up? What's going to bring that spark back? Because if they've lost that spark, I want them to kind of reignite that by first thinking about what it is that does get them excited. Because sometimes we just lose it because we're stuck in a pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think, do you see that people as they go through life? I mean, there's definitely, we all know there's stages when we're in our 20s and 30s and 40s. And if you have a family and you're raising kids and doing different things, do you think that it hits people at a common point in life where they really go, or is it doesn't really matter? It's just if you found it yet or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you may find your purpose at different points in your life, but it also has to be reignited and maybe Ooh. Potentially, you know, it changes. So I think you're absolutely right. There's, you know, we used to always think about the midlife crisis, but I think there's more crises that we face. In fact, they're happening more frequently because we want more meaning out of our lives than I think we've ever expected we wanted. People are having it in the 20s, they're having it in the 30s, they're having it in their 40s and beyond. And we're expecting more out of our life. And I think that has us oftentimes questioning, okay, is this job I'm in, you know, the right job? And, you know, is it time for a pivot? Is it time for a change? And that's why you see a lot more movement too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because it is, I mean, you just think about in your life or in my life, how what we thought our purpose was at the time has changed over the years. Because at 20, it's much different than 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever. So what are some of the things you've really learned now that you've talked with a lot of people doing this that you see and you just go, wow, never thought of that before?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that, we're capable of so many amazing things if we just get out of our own way and let go of holding on so tightly. You know, we hold on so tightly to the ideals that we've got in our heads, the narrative. You know, oftentimes we get into these fields and say, like, this is how I need to show up. This is how what I need to do to get that promotion, to do that thing. And then when you really let go of all that and let go of all that tension and start to kind of lean into, wow, I don't really need to do all that. I don't know why I thought that was important. Maybe there's something else that's more important that I could lean into. Which leads me to something that I do a lot with my clients and with people in general. I talk about this idea of expanding your vision and narrowing your focus, which is one of the best tools to think about what's possible for you. Is stop looking at the same wall and start to look to the left and to the right and up into the sky and all around you and see what else is available to you. Because we're always thinking in the same way. We have to sometimes step back and look differently and say, what else could I do? If I've always been doing, let's just use the example of if I was a scientist, a biotech scientist, like a clinical scientist, and that's what I did. I work in the lab. That's what I do. Okay. Just thinking about the skill sets you've learned to be able to be successful in that field, you could take those skill sets and apply them in another field. You could apply them in a different role. And you just have to be able to expand your ability to see that other idea. And so taking those ideas and bringing them out, but then narrowing down and seeing what is the next step I could try to take. And that might mean a conversation. It could mean, learning more about that field. Yeah. Little things that could open up the door for something else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And, on your website, you talk about three lessons. Yes. And this might be a good time to talk about this. So, and they all start with break the pattern. I love that because, we get so used to our patterns. We may not even realize it, but we drive the same going to work. We walk the same walk going to walk. And sometimes so much so we don't even realize how habitual we are in doing that thing. So I love that you start with break the pattern. And the first one you say, take one tiny step towards a new goal and see what happens.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, just taking that one step is going to make a big difference because, what you'll learn from that one step will give you enough information to figure out if you want to take another, or if you feel like there's a different path you want to take. One of the things that this comes back to my prior life of in finance, where you take measured risk, right? Mm-hmm. Measured risk is you're not betting the farm on that one step. All you're doing is you're taking a risk maybe, but it's not a risk that is so severe that it's going to put you at risk of you're losing your current job or you're doing something that's going to be severe. So
yeah,
it's a small step.
Yeah, that's great. Because it is, and I think people, like you said, we get so habitual in what we do, we don't realize that little step out, even if it's as simple as I walk to work this way all the time, by taking a different route to work and seeing what you see.
Exactly.
Just those little things, but that's great. Take one tiny step towards a new goal and see what happens. And then you go on to say, after many steps, you'll eventually achieve your goal. And I love that part of it. The second one is, and we hear this a lot, but I want to hear it from you. You could say, break the pattern again. Life begins outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The comfort zone is that place that feels like a warm blanket, but the reality is if you want to grow, you have to let go of that comfort zone. And that's where you get into those places where, you're trying things that, are going to give you opportunities to really expand. I recently had a conversation with somebody and she shared, that what made her successful is that she increased her probabilities by getting out of her comfort zone. And I love that. It's increasing your probabilities, which means just getting out there and trying new things gives you an increase of the probabilities of success.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So,
and I just love, the comfort zone. You hear people talk about a lot all the time, talk about comfort zone. And we talk about it, but we don't really think about it. I mean, our comfort zone is I eat the same food. Is that basic, right? It's like, you can break out of your comfort zone there. You can break out of your comfort zone in so many different ways. But when we look at it, you just don't see people that live inside that comfort zone. I don't think anyway, they can't really find the happiness that people that do put that extra little bit of risk in what they do to really see if I can or what will it work.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't go, you'll never know. That's what you need to try. You don't want to live with a regret, which, you know, if you stay in the comfort zone, oftentimes you have this sense of like, gosh, I would have liked to write a book or to be, you know, to speak on stage or to whatever, to start that company that I wanted to start.
Yeah. That's for sure. And if we get those off the docket right away, then you don't have to, you know, then you can see if you like it or not.
And I think the key part of this is you can be imperfect about it too. You don't have to be so, you know, not everything out of the gates is perfect. So
yeah,
let's be honest.
For sure. That's for sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're not going to be perfect in this stuff we're doing. Mm-hmm. So your third one, look for the pattern. Watch for signs of what lights you up and do more of that.
Yeah. It's exactly it. I mean, it comes back to this idea of like inspiration is like almost the communication. I mean, this is where you're going to be like, okay, that's really weird. But like inspiration is a communication with your soul's purpose. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is because it's like they're little sparks of insights. The things that light you up are the things that are making you come alive, and they're telling you something. They're insights that you should be paying attention to. So every time you have a conversation about a topic that gets you all excited, you know, let's say that you're an enthusiast of, you know, I don't know, model trains, I'll just put it out there. If you get excited about that, then maybe you should spend more time thinking about why it is you get excited about that. And not to say that, like, you know, maybe that's your future job, but maybe, well, who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't ignore it, because maybe there is something there that you should be considering. Whatever it is that lights you up, pay attention to, and do more of that. Follow those threads.
Oh, we're going to talk about this more. I want to talk. Yeah, we got to do this. We're going to go down this road. But I do want to ask you a couple other questions before we go back into this, because really, I think this is something that absolutely everyone can do. If you wanted to just sit back and look at your life and go, okay, what do I really, really, really enjoy about it? It's not that difficult, and it's something that anyone could do. Because there's so many things. But you did a TEDx talk.
Yes.
And what really, you said, don't check yourself at the door.
Yeah.
What did you really want to communicate in your TEDx talk?
It's an interesting thing when you put that TED talk next to what we just talked about. It's really an interesting connection, because you know, what I was talking about there is that a lot of people hide parts of who they are in the workplace, you know, because they're mm-hmm. afraid of what people will think. You know, they may think that, you know, well, I'm not leadership material, or, you know, they may think I'm awkward or weird or whatever it may be that might hold them back. I mean, sometimes it's the severe stuff, like, you know, I'm transgender or things like that. You know, that's not that's severe. I'm just saying, like, you know, the things that are more that are people are really judged about.
Yeah, up the level a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason why I wanted to connect it to the last conversation is because I think it's the simple things, like the hobbies, the things that light us up, that we need to share with other people. And what happens when we do that, they get to see us more fully, and mm-hmm. we get to celebrate each other. We get a door into each other's lives. You know, this happened because I had a few clients who shared with me when I started to ask questions about, like, what are some things you do on, you know, what did you do this weekend? How did you, you know, what makes you come alive? And, you know, they started to share some of these things with me. And I was like, wow, have you ever shared that with your team? And they're like, no, I never have. So one particular example is I had a client who donated his time at a homeless shelter. Just, he loved giving back. He loved spending time with other people. And he shared that with one of his employees, not like a bragging way, but just in a very nonchalant way. And what he realized is that person he was talking to was homeless as a child. And that conversation connected them at a level that you just can't manufacture. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she cried and she said, "Why? I can't believe that. That's so amazing that you do that, because that's, you know, I spent a lot of time in homeless shelters as a child." So it's beautiful.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Because I, you know, it caught me right off the bat, because don't check yourself at the door. You know, I grew up in an age where you were supposed to check yourself at the door.
100%.
Right. You were 100% in the 90s and in the 2000, early 2000s. That's what you were supposed to do. Check your personal stuff at the door, and it's not there. And I'm so glad that we've, in the last decade, we've really changed that. And even more so, because those kind of interactions, like you just talked about, wouldn't have happened then. Yeah. And the relationships that are being formed because we're coming in, we're talking about what we do. Doesn't mean that we have to be friends outside of work. It's just like, I have these hobbies and I'm doing them. And it lets them see people as people. And
yeah. And to take this to the next level, which is exactly where, you know, I've taken it to the next level, I guess, is the idea that, like, we having connections with other people in the workplace is such an important aspect of getting the things that a lot of companies want, which is results. They want innovation. They want an impact. The best way to get there is to have people in the organization feeling like they care about each other, feeling connected to each other, and knowing each other. If they feel like the person next to them on the Zoom channel, or in even in person, if that's the case, is someone just a stranger, or is this some person that they see on occasion, but they really don't know anything about their background, who they are, then it's hard for them to go to bat for each other, or to want to go to bat for each other.
Sorry about that. I had something that jumped in my electronics here and it caused a little, I was like, what's happening here? But now I realize,
it's all good.
Sorry. But yeah, it's just so, because this is really, to me, not checking yourself at the door, building these deep connections. I mean, take a look at any sports team, any highest performing business team, and they are connected at a level that's above talent.
Yeah.
It's above talent, because talent gets you so far, but that connection, so everybody is working at that level that no one else may, that doesn't have that connection, won't even consider doing. Those are the teams that really just dominate.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it. Like, you remember the old stories, you know, the bulls, when they would sit down and they would be meditating together and doing these really strange things that for the most part, you'd think like, that's the weirdest thing, but they do these things because they know that the more that they're in tune with each other, then the better they're going to perform.
Yeah.
It's the mystery.
That is a great example too, by the way. If someone that listened to this and you haven't gone back and learned what the Chicago Bulls were doing back in their heyday years, you need to, because it's really something when you look at how they were building the team together and what they were doing and how they pushed each other to be better. It's really something.
It was a remarkable story. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yes. So when you see this happening and people start doing this, do your clients and their teams talk about the results that they see over time after they start doing this?
Well, first of all, it starts pretty quickly in the sense of, like, you know, the emotional connection they start to see when they're in the room and they start to feel, wow, like, I didn't know that about you. Or, you know, there's things about you that I hadn't known because you didn't share. And, you know, it starts to break down these walls so that it starts to be almost immediate once they start getting in that space. And then when over time, you know, as I start to check in with them and say, what is opening up for you and the team as you've had these sharing sessions and these times together, they've come back and said, well, it just feels like we had just a cohesiveness that just is just infectious. It's almost like we can feel the impact of it. And they start to see results. They start to see that the team can get more done in less time, and they're able to see the impact of the, you know, from an innovative perspective. Now, it's hard for me to correlate that all with what we've done together, but you know, I like to think that that's really strongly correlated with what we've been doing. Seems like it. So,
well, I mean, when you get people, I mean, just building those deeper relationships is really what it's about. And again, you go back to so many situations in business and life and sports, and you just look at anything, band, it doesn't matter, an orchestra, it doesn't matter. When there's people that are working together, the better relationships they have, the better relationships their leaders have with them, the better they perform. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And I want to just take a moment to go back for a second, because we didn't talk about this, but when I wrote my latest book, Campfire Lessons for Leaders, one of the things I also tuned into is this idea that we have to get to know ourselves first before we can open the aperture to others. And so I think that's another part of this, you know, connecting with ourselves and our narrative of like really getting to know us makes us much better at connecting with others. So that's another part of the story we should just be aware of.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And that is, so I'm sure that's, well, and you start people there, I'm sure, before they work with their teams, as we talked about earlier, but it is important. I mean, I don't think that you're going to be able to go outside without looking inside first.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man. So good. So good talking with you. So if we're sitting here today and we're going, wow, what does my life look like if I really can pull inspired purpose into my life? Mm-hmm. When you see people really embrace it, what do you see? What kind of transformations do you see?
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing about it is that people feel a little bit more at peace. And I don't mean to say like everyone's sitting around on a pillow and meditating, but they're a little more at ease. And this is something that has been reflected back to me through the conversations, is that a lot of tension gets built up when we feel like we're missing something, or that there's, you know, a component we're trying hard to get right. But when you start to have clarity and you start to be more aligned with what it is that you're all about, things become a little easier to get to. Yeah. So there's a peace, it's almost like a peace of mind. I call it grounding, because you feel like you are grounded in your presence. It just feels like you can remain calm. And even when things are not known, you know that you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got to believe that when you really feel like you're doing what, you know, at least today, this is where I really am meant to be, this is what I really am meant to do, that there's just an inherent amount of happiness from that, by knowing that and doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's not just happiness. I'll just take it. I always say this because I love happiness. Don't get me wrong, but happiness is a fleeting emotion.
Yep.
Fulfillment is what we're after.
There you go.
Yeah. We want something that lasts. We want something that's going to take us to a deeper sense of connection to, you know, satisfaction, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm. So, do you think that when people really find, as we talked about today, and, you know, unleashing your true potential with inspired purpose, like we're talking today, when people find their inspired purpose, when they find that and they really get into it, do you think that things like burnout and frustration and those kind of things kind of subside just because we're more aligned with who we at that time are meant to be and things like that?
Well, those things still happen, but we're more aware of it and we can fight against it. We have resilience when we are, because what happens is, let me give you an explanation as to what I mean by that, is that, you know, the world is challenging. There's no doubt about it. And there's always new challenges to be faced. And some things are really out of our control. I'd say most things really.
Yeah.
But the key thing is you have to figure out how you want to react to them. And when you know that you're reacting from a place of, you know what you value, you know what you're aiming to create in the world, then you have a place to come back to. You know what you're coming back to. If you haven't really thought about the things that really are your ground, your place you're coming from, then what happens is you start to become more reactionary or panicky, because it's like you've got no tether.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes people think of tether being like, that's a bad thing. You're like tethered to the ground. That's not good. But you need a place that feels like home to you. And that home has to be inside of you.
Yeah.
It, you carry it with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're finding that, when you find that inspired purpose, you're going to have challenges. There's going to be frustrations and there's going to be successes and failures. But when it's, you feel you're on the right path, it does, I have to believe, give you that resilience that allows you to go, okay, we got knocked down today, but let's get back up, because we know tomorrow we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, because we know where we wanted to be. We know what we're here for. And we know that, you know, these are the things that we need to get back onto. And that's, it's okay. And this is an opportunity to get it right again.
I got a weird question for you.
Go for it.
How many people you think walking around us today really have any idea what their purpose is, or feel about that they're following their inspired purpose?
That's a great question. it really is. I mean, because I would have to say that it's you know, if we were to look at the total population, it's got to be less than a quarter of the people on the planet, which is sad.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And it is sad, and it's too bad, because it's, it changes lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you're connected with your purpose, and you know, it's like I said earlier, there's a sense of connection that you create with others. It's the impact that you have on others. And I think that's what we need more of. We need more people who are doing the work so that they can have an impact on other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have I not asked you today? What have I not asked you today that we go, holy heck, we should have talked about that?
Oh man, it's a good question. Well, let's talk about the flashpoint idea. Flashpoints. So in my podcast, I talk about this idea. It's called the virtual campfire, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's this concept that I always bring my guests through, which is, you know, what is the point in your journey that has ignited your gifts into the world? It's called the flashpoint.
Ooh.
Yeah. And honestly, there's some people have a problem with the fact that it's a gift that you have to, like, you can develop that gift. It's the way I mean by this is there's a sense of like a moment along the way that all of a sudden we get ignited by, that our life has changed forever because of this moment. And what I tend to think is that a lot of us don't really know what those are, or don't really spend enough time thinking about what did that truly mean for me. So I think it's important sometimes for us to go back and look at the past in that lens and say, okay, what were the moments that made me who I am? You know, whether it be good or bad, it could be a dark moment. You know, a lot of people have said, like, well, you know, for me, it was, you know, being diagnosed with cancer and realizing that life is fragile and God knows, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be next. I don't know how much life I have left to live. So, you know, then when I, you know, realized that I got a clean bill of health after getting chemotherapy, then I wanted to do something more meaningful with my life.
Yeah.
And that's a great flashpoint.
Wow. I love that. I love that. I love how you described it, because we should embrace those. I think even the crappy ones, when we go back and look at them, the tough ones are still beneficial to us when we go back and look at what we really learned from them.
Yeah. But
That's awesome, because I just going back and seeing those, you're going to appreciate the opportunities you've had to really experience some things that are life changing.
Well, and not only that, but it also gives you more clarity about why you do what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Tony, it's been so great talking to you today, man. I really appreciate you stopping by and talking with us here on the Face of the Business. And let's do that. So the last book you wrote, I forgot to mention it. What's the title of your book?
It's called Campfire Lessons for Leaders, How Uncovering Your Past Can Propel You Forward.
There you go. Campfire Lessons for Leaders, How Uncovering Your Past. Covering your past will propel you forward.
Yeah.
Now that's awesome. That's awesome. And then you've got the podcast too. And what's the name of the podcast?
The Virtual Campfire.
The Virtual Campfire. Wanted to make sure we got that again. And if people want to get a hold of you, Tony, what's the best way for them to do that?
I think the best place is to go to my website, ipurposepartners.com. And there you can find all types of fun things, including my podcasts, my books, and everything else.
Awesome. Awesome.
And LinkedIn, of course. Yeah.
Yes. So. Yes. Well, Tony Martinetti, thanks for stopping by today. We were talking about unleashing true potential with inspired purpose.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, I just was reflecting for a moment because it was so much fun to be here with you today and learned a lot. I wanted to thank the people that dropped comments in here today, and all of you that are listening and don't comment. I appreciate you. I just love that you're able to tune in every week. And Tony, thanks once again for being here.
You're so welcome.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. And we'll be back again later. Have a great night, everyone. We'll talk soon. Tony, hang out and we'll finish up off the air.
Okay.